This is Digital Story Podcast number 691, June 11th, 2019. Today's theme is Thank You Surface Pro for iPad OS. I'm Derek Story. If you want to get things done, buy a Surface Pro. Up until last Tuesday, that was the pragmatic opinion of those who wanted to ditch their laptops and use a tablet for work. Then Apple announced iPad OS, and suddenly nimble artists had a choice again. And in my opinion, they have Microsoft to thank. I'll explain more and delve into iPad OS on today's podcast. Here's a quote from a CNET article that sums up what many felt about the Surface Pro compared to the iPad. OS, the beginning and possibly the end of the discussion. For many, the iPad Pro's mobile operating system makes it a complete non-starter compared to the Surface Pro running on full Windows 10 Pro. Having Windows 10 means you can run full versions of traditional Win32 software and much more that Apple's iOS simply can't. I know that was a few months ago, but, you know, pretty strong words, but I have to say, you know, a lot of folks really felt that way about iOS running on an iPad. Here you had this great hardware, and you had a very crippled operating system in terms of leveraging everything that this hardware should be able to do. Other areas where iOS was falling short on an iPad included multitasking, flexible ports. You only had one port and it was severely hobbled in terms of what you could use in that port. External drive connectivity, for example, you did not have that. And peripherals, you could use some, but it was pretty much limited. You know, I had tried many times to work remotely with my iPad. I'm the nimble photographer, for Pete's sake, only to finally give in and have to buy an 11-inch MacBook Air instead. I just couldn't take it anymore. There were just too many workarounds, and it was more trouble than it was worth. It made me feel like when computing software first started to happen, this is way back, and I remember one of the very first apps I played with was an electronic checkbook app on, I believe, on a very, very early Mac. And I would spend hours and hours trying to make this thing work when I could actually do checkbook entries in just a matter of seconds if I used pen and paper. And that's, you know, that's finally at one point I go, okay, this is crazy. This is ridiculous. When they refine this, then I'll use it. Until then, I'm just going to use a paper checkbook. And that's kind of the point that I got to with the iPad. I love my iPad mini. Have now the iPad mini 5, which is a wonderful machine. But prior to that, I had been working with an iPad mini 2. And as a testament to how good these tablets are, it was still running absolutely fine up until the very moment I replaced it with the iPad mini 5. And the 2 had an A7 processor in it. The 5 has an A12. That just gives you, you know, some idea of the span of time in between these two iPads. Yet, I was using it to watch Netflix. I was doing web browsing. I was doing all sorts of stuff on it. Absolutely love the device. Still do. However, I could not use it without a laptop if I wanted to get work done. And iPad OS is going to change that. And the reason why iPad OS is going to change that is because finally it can go up against the Surface Pro for getting things done. And I honestly believe that this is a great case of where competition really benefits the consumer, because the Surface Pro allow you to plug in, for example, a USB flash drive. They allow you to use all the Windows apps that are 32-bit, all that kind of stuff. You know, they're really wonderful machines, and they're quite terrific for productivity. Whereas the iPad, up until iPad OS, and by the way, iPad OS was just announced. You can't, unless you're a developer, you can't use it right now, right? We're studying it. We have the specs. Apple's released the specs. There's a lot of discussion about it. And it will come out this fall, either late September or early October. But we know enough about it to be able to talk about it intelligently. And then, of course, when it's out, we'll run it through the full battery of tests. But iPad OS now brings some of that productivity, some of that flexibility, and I think flexibility is a key word here, to the tablet that Windows users have been experiencing with the Surface Pro. So in this case, you know, we want to tip our hats to Microsoft for really pushing Apple, whether Apple admits it or not, and I'm sure they won't, or maybe even a lot of Apple users won't admit it. But the fact of the matter is, if there wasn't a Surface Pro that was so good, we might not see iPad OS. We'll never know for sure. That is my theory. So speaking of what's on paper and what's been announced about iPad OS, there are some things here that I just think are terrific. I'm very excited about. I'm going to cover five of them today. Five things that I think iPad OS brings to the iPad that makes it a worthy competitor of the Surface Pro, especially for photographers and artists. Okay, here we go. Five things. The first one, slide over and split view. Now, this all kind of, plays in with multitasking, having multiple apps, all that kind of stuff. So slide over and split view have made working with multiple apps on the iPad effortless, according to Apple. Now they can take your workflows to another level by letting you work exactly how you want in even more intuitive ways. So you can have side by side, you can have, you know, all sorts of different multitasking configurations going with slide over and split view. Now iPad OS brings that level of efficiency to the iPad. The second one is text editing. iPad OS makes it easier and faster to select and edit text using just your fingers. There are new editing gestures, cursor navigation, multi-selection, and intelligent text selection. In other words, you can select a word with a double tap, a sentence with three taps, or a whole paragraph with four taps. And this isn't counting using Apple Pencil or the Logitech crayon for this kind of work. This is just using your fingers right now. Now, text editing was one of the biggies, or just working with text in general was one of the biggies that forced me back to a laptop, because it was just too awkward, just too slow. I felt like I was back at the electronic checkbook in 1980, whatever. You know, it was horrible. I think that if something is going to be a worthy workflow device, it at least has to be able to manage text effortlessly. And I think that iPad OS brings real-world text editing and text management to the tablet, and I'm very excited about that. The third thing is files, and oh my gosh, how long have we been waiting for this? How many thousands of iPad users have been begging for this? The Files app lets you access and manage your files however you want. Well, we'll see. We'll see. However you want. Maybe that should be in quotes, but we'll see. Okay. Right now, it's not in quotes. They're saying however you want, all in one convenient place. And iPad OS gives you powerful new ways to view, work on, and share files. Get a more detailed view of your files and more controls of what you want to do with them. Now, as I read the text and as I drill down on this, files, it looks like files like we have on a laptop or a regular computer. It looks like we finally have true, flexible file management for the tablet. Now, you combine this with the next thing that I'm going to talk about, which is being able to use external drives. And you go, oh my gosh, I can finally move my pictures around. I can move my movies around. I can move text files around. I can receive something from somebody, put it on a flash drive, do this, do that. I can back up. I can manage my work the way that I want to manage it. And that's what files allegedly, now we still have to test it, right? But according to the copy here from the Apple site, that's what files brings to the iPad experience. I am thrilled about this. Now, I mentioned external drives, which I'm going to put as part of files. So it is 3B, all right? Files is 3A and external drives is 3B. But now we can connect an external hard drive. Now, when we have iPad OS, a SD card reader, which we could do before, but now we can use like any SD card reader. And yes, even a USB drive. So now we will be able to connect external drives to the iPad, use the Files app to manage those files and move things around. That's why I put external drive with files, because I really feel like they go hand in hand. Total excitement on 3A and 3B. Alrighty. Oh my gosh. It's going to be one of those things where I'm going to say right now, I have to see it to believe it, because I don't want to get my hopes up too high for this. Number four, desktop class browsing. And this is another one that was on my list. Oh my gosh. Enjoy the desktop version of websites on your iPad so you can use web apps like Google Docs, Squarespace, and WordPress on the iPad in the browser. Just like intuitively you feel like you should be able to do. And with the download manager, you can see your active and recent downloads in Safari and access them easily from the new downloads folder in Files. See how this all kind of hooks together. So now we have a full-fledged desktop browser on the iPad. We can just use the web browser and use the admin tools, the URLs that we use on our laptops and on our computers to manage all of these things that we want to manage. And plus, it just looks right. Right now, we don't have nothing's hidden because it's the mobile version of the app. So desktop class browsing is a biggie. It's number four, and it's another one that I'm very excited about. But I have saved the fun one for last. These other things are really super important and very necessary, but this last one is fun and is redesigned photo management and editing. And there is a lot of facets to this one. They have really sat down and said, okay, we need to up our game in the whole, photo management and editing aspect of this device. And they should. I mean, a tablet is a perfect device for photographers. It should be able to handle just about anything that you need to handle. So here we go. The all-new Photos tab lets you browse your photo library with different levels of curation. It's so easy to find, relive, and share your photos and videos. Okay, nice. So the interface, the UI, improvement there. Removes similar shots and clutter, duplicate photos, screenshots, and whiteboard photos that are identified and hidden. So you see only your best shots. So if you've got six versions of a receipt, it'll pick the best one and hide, won't delete, and hide the other ones. Okay, that's really nice, getting rid of that clutter. I take multiple shots of things all the time. I don't know why, I've just always done it. Somehow I think one's gonna be a bit sharper than the other, right? Enhanced control. So this is really, control of the enhance tool in the application. So enhance now lets you control the intensity of your automatic adjustments. As you increase or decrease enhance, you'll see other adjustments including exposure, brilliance, highlight, shadows, contrast, brightness, black point, saturation, and vibrance intelligently change with it. So enhance or auto enhance was always just an all or nothing thing. You hit it, if you liked what it did, great. If you didn't, then you undid it, okay? On or off. Now we have enhanced control, so we can control the intensity. So if it did it 70% the way that you wanted it and 100% was too much, then you back it off to 70%. This is going to save us a lot of time. This is perfect for an iPad because a lot of times AutoEnhance does get it close to right with just a little tweaking that we have to do afterwards. Now we can just do that tweaking intelligently with just, you know, a fader control, essentially. Here's another one that's pretty exciting. Non-destructive video editing support. So nearly everything that you can do with a photo, you can now do with a video on an iPad. Adjustments, filters, and crop support video editing. You can rotate, increase exposure, even apply filters to your videos. Video editing supports all video formats captured on the iPad, including video in 4K at 60 frames per second and slow-mo in 1080p at 240 FPS, frames per second. We have new editing tools. So now we have, and gosh, did I miss these editing tools that weren't there. So now we have Sharpen. We have Definition. We have Noise Reduction. And praise the gods, we have Vignette. We have Vignette combined with Pinch to Zoom support so you can get a better look at the specific areas that you're editing. So for example, if you're sharpening, you know, you might want to pinch to zoom the area that you're most concerned about, apply the sharpening, see how it looks at 100%, and then you can pinch to zoom back down and look at it that way as well. And you can do that with all the editing tools. So we have all these editing tools that should have been there in the first place. They weren't, but now they are. And so now we have parity compared to what's going on with our desktop and our laptop computers. And then finally, and this one is a biggie as it plays out, which is Image Capture API. So the Image Capture API allows developers to leverage the camera connection kit to import photos directly into their apps. So they won't have to go through the Photos app anymore. They'd be able to go directly into their specific app. Right out of the chute, I believe Lightroom will be able to import directly into Lightroom Mobile without going into Photos. Obviously, they probably got a heads up on this and have been developing it. Maybe they had the API ahead of time. I don't know how that worked. But we should see that from other image editing apps as well. And as a result, this might encourage people who don't have image editing apps on there right now, whom we'd like to see on the iPad, maybe go, well, now that we can bring images right into our app, maybe we'll develop for the iPad. So this could have a very super wonderful ripple effect for all of us. Those are the five things that I'm super excited about. Slide over and split view, multitasking, text editing, files with external drives, desktop class browsing, redesign photo management and editing. Oh my gosh, iPad OS cannot get here fast enough for me. And as I said, I have a brand new iPad Mini 5 with a Logitech Crayon with an A12 processor. This little guy screams, and it is going to be so much fun to be able to use all these new tools from iPad OS on the little iPad mini that just fits so easily in my camera bag. This could make nimble photography really full-bodied again. I cannot wait. And wouldn't it be nice to leave the laptop at home finally? More to report on this when iPad OS actually comes out, which will be, as I said, late September, early October. Believe me, we'll be talking about it then. In the meantime, I just want to thank you, Microsoft, for creating the powerful and wonderful Surface Pro. And even though I personally don't want to switch to Windows, I appreciate the work that you've done and the pressure that you put on Apple to finally create an operating system worthy of the iPad hardware. Interview with Rick Salmon about the Oregon Coast Photo Road Trip book. I have a real treat for you today. Rick Salmon and I had this conversation, and I was smart enough to turn on the recorder while we had it. So I just had finished reading Rick's latest book, which I absolutely like, The Oregon Coast Photo Road Trip, How to Eat, Stay, Play, and Shoot Like a Pro. This is a terrific book. And the reason why I wanted to see it was because I really liked his Route 66 book. And this is the next in that particular series. So I wanted to talk with him about traveling and working with his wife, Susan. They work together on these books. She captures a lot of the images that are in the book. She uses an iPhone. He uses a mirrorless camera. They have two different approaches to their photography, and they just blend them together so well in this book. That is really interesting. So I wanted to ask him about that. I wanted to ask him about iPhone and mirrorless photography. And I want to ask him how to get the most pleasure from our photo road trips, especially if you're traveling with a partner, a loved one, or family members. And he said, okay, let's do it. So we did. So here's what Rick had to say about all these things that I was so curious about. Hey, Rick, you've got a new book out, don't you?
And it's co-authored by my wife of 44 years, Susan Salmon.
And it's the Oregon Coast Photo Road Trip. Do I have that correct?
Yes, Oregon Coast Photo Road Trip book. It's How to Eat, Stay, Play, because you have to play when you're out there, and Shoot Like a Pro. So it's more than just a photography how-to book. We tell you where to stand basically for the best pictures. You know, Ansel Adams said standing in the right place is really important. But we give the distances we have between the places. We have maps. We have pictures of the food. And have you been to the Oregon Coast?
I have. I love it. I absolutely love it.
You know, it's so beautiful. I just hope. Do you know Nick Page?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. I love Nick Page. Yeah. I mean, he's a young, talented guy. I mean, he wrote the foreword to the book.
Exactly. I read it.
And Now whenever he posts a picture anywhere taken in the United States, he tags it Mesa Arch, because he doesn't want these places to get ruined. So he'll take a picture in the Palouse. So I hope this book inspires people to go there, but I hope a million people don't, you know, go to the Strawberry Hill or Cannon Beach all at the same time.
Well, you know, here's the thing about it. And the first book that I read by you and Susan was the Route 66 book.
Right? Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love that book. And I think, as much as I appreciated, you know, learning about the different spots and so forth that you guys visited, I had the same sensation with this book as I did with that book, which is I like learning about the process. I like learning about how the two of you plan the trip, how you work together, how you combine mirrorless photography with iPhone photography. Even if I never go to any of these spots, there's a lot in this book that I really appreciate.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's kind of like a mini course in landscape and seascape photography, because we talk about composition, you know, ND filters, HDR, safety. You've been on the Oregon Coast. You know how important safety is. So we stress that. And, you know, it's just great having a co-author who you love and live with.
Absolutely. And you guys bring a little different thing to the table. She has a little different eye than you do. Yep. She's using a different device. The question I have for you now, after having read two of these books with two of you working together like this, do you have any tips for us in terms of, you know, when we travel with family on vacation or with friends and we want to get shots, but we also want to have a good experience? How do you balance those two things?
Well, if you ask Susan, she might have a different answer. With me, a lot of times it's all about work. You know, it's getting the shot. But when we're out there shooting, but at the end of the day, I would say we've been to the Oregon Coast 5 times. So at the end of the day, we're having happy hour, right? And we're reliving that. And then I'll go back and I'll download, because I'm not going to sleep. You know, Susan's pictures on her iPhone, they're stored in the cloud. She doesn't have to worry, right? I download to my computer and I pick my best pictures from the day. But I also think dividing responsibilities. We do that on the road and we do that in our business. Like at our business at home, she's in charge of a lot of the management. She's in charge of all the finances, which is good. It saves me from that, because I'm not good at adding. I'm not going to spell it either. But and on the road, she plans a lot of the stuff. So she picks the hotels and she picks the restaurants. So I think dividing responsibilities avoids maybe disagreements in the field. Like, oh, where do you want to go in the morning? Oh, let's go here first. No, I'm just taking her word that this is the best place to go.
That's interesting. I like that. Now, do you negotiate, like, for instance, if she really wants to do something and there's something else that you really want to do, how do you guys work through that process? Is there like a give and take on that?
Well, that's actually a good question. So say we go to like one of these locations. We go to like Bandon Beach. Have you been to Bandon with those sea stacks?
And they're crazy, yes.
Okay, it's amazing. We were at this other place called Hug Point, which is by Cannon Beach. And this is a good example, I think, of what you're saying. So I'm at Hug Point, and I'm setting up my tripod. And I put it, you know, carefully, you know, in the sand. I put on my camera. I put on my ND filter. I'm carefully composing while Susan is like walking around effortlessly with her iPhone, getting shots that I would never get because she's going to see things differently. She has a close-up of these rocks. It looks like a metal kryptonite or something out of like a Superman movie. And it's just a close-up of one of these rocks. It was amazing. So when we get to a location, we kind of like go in different directions because we're, like you said before, she has a different eye than I have. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really good to have that that combination.
And you guys allow each other to do that, right? You allow, you know, like you say, okay, let's make sure we meet back here by 11 or something like that. But you allow each other to kind of go off and do your thing and then come back together, right?
Well, when we're doing a book, yes. When we're doing we have a lot of Kelby One classes. Mm-hmm. We have we shot the whole class. We have a class on Uncovering the Magic of Utah State Parks. Mm-hmm. We shot the whole thing ourselves. So we're shooting with the Canon 5D Mark IV with the Sennheiser mic. So we're together on that. And the main objective there was to get the video and to get some nice pictures. But for the book, yeah, it's, you know, it's we both have the same goal that we want to produce the best possible work. Because as you know, you do an ebook or something like that or a blog post, you make a mistake, you know, whatever, you could change it with the book.
Yeah.
It's set in stone.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
You know, I have an HDR book. Did you work on my HDR book? No, that was at a different company.
Yeah, I didn't work on that one.
And I'm looking at, I look at that, well, I shudder to look at that book sometimes because I look at some of the pictures. This was about 10 years ago, Derek. And I look at some of the pictures and I say, what was I thinking? Right? Well, that's when HDR just came out, right?
Right.
But so in a book, you can't change it. So, and this book, I would say, maybe the Route 66 book, Susan had about 25% of the pictures. I would say she has about 50% of the pictures in this book, and she wrote about half of it too.
It's awesome. I think the two of you work really well together. This book, the Oregon Coast Photo Road Trip book, Rick, I think is also extremely attractive in addition to everything that you guys talk about. And it's available on Amazon right now. And is there anywhere else that you want to point people who are interested in getting their hands on this?
No, I think Amazon.com is the best place to get it. It's only actually the Kindle version I'm looking now is $12.69, and the paperback's only $13.36. So it's a bargain.
Man, that is a bargain. I mean, you can't go to Starbucks for that amount of money.
No, I don't know. I don't know how they could do it. You know, because you know the publisher put. Put a lot of work into this. Mm-hmm. They put a lot of work into it.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's more than 300 pictures in there.
Yeah, and they're absolutely gorgeous. All right, that's awesome, Rick. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing some insights on this book. And thank you so much for letting me read it, too. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, thank you, my friend. It's always a ton of fun speaking with you.
A big thanks to Rick for sitting down and chatting with me. I tell you, that book is a bargain, and it is fun. And like I said, whether you plan on going to the Oregon coast or not, I think you will enjoy the book, and you will get much out of it that you can apply to practically any road trip, especially if you're traveling with others. Microsoft's RAW image extension lets you view RAW previews in Windows 10. Somehow I thought this would be a nice thing to add to our conversation today. This is for folks that are using Windows on a computer, and I have the link to the entire article in the show notes, of course. Here's what this RAW extension does. If you're running the latest version of Windows 10 as a photographer, make sure you install Microsoft's RAW Image extension. It adds native viewing support for major RAW file formats used by various camera brands. Windows 10 doesn't have RAW previewing built in by default, so while you can work with RAW files in specialized software such as Lightroom, previews won't show up for you in Windows File Explorer or the Photos app right out of the box. If you're running the latest version of Windows 10, the May 2019 update version number 1903 at the time of this writing, you can install the RAW Image extension to add RAW support. As I said, I have a link to that article in the show notes. You can go there, and then the link to download the RAW Image extension is in the article as well. And as always, I have links, you know, to everything that I talk about. Rick's book, I have a link to that. All the goodies are here in the show notes, so make sure you check them out. Big thanks to our Inner Circle members, and welcome to the new members who have recently joined us. Our Inner Circle members are the ones that help keep this podcast on the air. They're the ones that, through their support, I'm able to, you know, pay all the various administration fees that I have with this show, including serving it up to you, including, you know, the admin. We're working on a new thing right now where we're going to switch to HTTPS for our site, because not that we need it so much, but now that is kind of a trend. And so other folks, you know, our viewers, they want to feel secure. They don't want to see that little message that this site is not secure, even though it doesn't really mean anything for them particularly, because there's nothing to worry about in terms of what you're viewing. However, people feel better when they see HTTPS. So, you know, we're going to work on that, and we got to make sure that we do that in the right way possible, that we don't break anything. It takes expertise. And we pay for that expertise to make sure that it's done right. Support through our Inner Circle members is what helps pay for us to do that, for us to stay current, for us to continue to provide a quality experience for you. Every one of you who are listening to the show should thank our Inner Circle members, because they are the ones that are helping us keep current and even, in some cases, move ahead of the pack. If you want to learn more about becoming an Inner Circle member, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on every page of the Digital Story. Go over and take a look at our site there. See what's going on. It's fun. It's not just about supporting the site. I mean, that is a very important part of it. But this is also truly an Inner Circle. It's just a great experience, and I think you would enjoy it. Also, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. They are supplying all the paper that I use. They are supplying the expertise that I rely on for printing, and they are a partner of this site. Red River Paper, I tell you, I just finished a little project the other day that went on some beautiful Red River polar mat paper. I wrote an article about how to easily convert photographs into very nice line drawings. They look terrific in only three steps. Use Photoshop to do it, and I just walk you through the three steps. It's really nice, and the results look great. They look good on a screen, but when they really shine is when you take these wonderful pen and ink renderings that you create in three steps, and then you put them on polar matte paper, or you put them on another, you know, wonderful Red River paper, and then you're looking at it and you go, this is a piece of art. This is a piece of art. And I created it. I created it all. Red River Paper is what makes that possible. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. Go over there, take a look at the landing page, take a look at the different papers they have, the tutorials, the supplies, you name it, they got it. And if you want to check out the article is right there on Digital Story, and you can see how to convert your photographs, in this case it's just an iPhone photo, into a wonderful piece of art and then print it out. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed our chat with Rick. I hope you enjoyed the news about iPadOS. I'm working on all sorts of great stuff for next couple weeks. It's so exciting. I have equipment review coming up. Come back and join us next Tuesday. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.